I like what you said about everybody being a preacher, because we're all men here. I like what you said about the young boys. They need to be included because they're young men. Noting that, Terry, would you stop what you're doing and take a moment and pray for us right now?
Dear Lord, your God, thank you for all the men being able to be here. Thank you for all you've given us, Lord. Thank you for people having safe travels here, Lord. Use us people have safe travels back to their home, Lord. Please bless my grandpa's message right now, Lord. In your son's name, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. So, you know, my friend Tim says, first of all, I'll tell you, it's a privilege to talk to you, man, okay? I don't take it lightly. My friend Tim just said to me 5 minutes, because he calls me Mr. Ronnie. I don't know, that's what he does. He says, you sit down and something like, I get a kick out of the way you sit and observe people. I'll watch you. I watch me. I examine things and I examine people. And everybody here is different. There's not one of us that's like the other in more than just a couple of ways. But our Heavenly Father knows each of us intimately. He knows us intimately because He sees us on the inside. You know, it's really good. He sees us. My wife's got to be looking on the inside to stay with a creep like me. You know, clean it up, it's good, don't worry about it. And then get over here and sit down. But our God looks at us on the inside. He examines us. And our thoughts, they matter to God. The things we dwell on during the day, during the night. I realize when you're asleep, you can't control your dreams. But our thoughts are important to God. I wonder how important to us are our thoughts. Do we consider our thoughts? Listen, this has nothing to do with what I've got written down on that paper. It's just something Tim said to me. And I wonder, what do you think about one another when you look at each other? Are you judging one another?
I'd like to get rid of some of my thoughts.
Amen, brother. Listen, there's such a thing as righteously judging. Huh? I can look at my brother Tim and say, okay, I see he has a problem in this area. I'm judging his behavior and his actions. I'm listening to the words that come out of his mouth. And I'm going to say, Tim, listen, I think this might be going on. You want to talk about it? We should do that for one another, and we shouldn't be afraid to do that for one another.
That's right.
We live in a society that tells us it's not okay to offend people. Do you know that Bible is offensive? Do you know how offensive Jesus Christ was to the people of his day? Do you have any idea? I'm sure you do. How offensive Jesus Christ is to the person walking down the street today. Walk across the street up over here and go into that school and say the name Jesus Christ and not be a swear word. Today you'd be lucky they don't arrest you because you're in a public school. Because they don't want to teach your children the truth about anything. They want to teach them how to be critical of your race. Listen, there's one race. It's called the human race. God made man and woman. I'm getting a little sidetracked. Pastor gave a testimony over there about some different things. And I think it's appropriate. Most of you men know him. We travel in a pack. I see that's good. But there's some of you here, you really don't know me. You don't know how I came to be where I'm at. And I think that Paul makes a good example in the book of Acts, where we see twice where he appears between people. He gives a short testimony, and he describes himself and how he got to where he's at. So following Paul's example, I want to tell you a little bit about Ronald Scolton. I like Ronnie better. Ronald's what my mother called me when I got in trouble. Most of, like I say, of my pack, they know me. I'm 51 years old. I was born in 1972. My parents divorced very young, and my mom remarried. She went from one drunkard to another drunkard. I was not attended to much as a young child. Kind of went wherever I wanted and did whatever I wanted, even at 4 and 5 years old. That's neglect. I was neglected. My mom loved me, but she neglected me. I was abused at a young age by family, by strangers, by my mom's boyfriend. I learned how to hate you before I met you. I understood bitterness in a way that I couldn't describe, and I didn't even know what the word meant. You know? And, you know, I went through life just mostly by myself, on my own. I was that kid that would be by himself. I was okay with that, though. I really didn't want to be around other people. It's not that I couldn't be around other people. I didn't want to be around other people. I was okay being by myself. I grew up an army brat. It's a filthy lifestyle. There's nothing good about the lifestyle of the military, except the fact you're serving your country. After hours, it's nothing but drinking and whoring and filthiness. And as a young teenager in an environment, that's what I learned to be. So I got hurt when I was 16 working on a farm. I hurt my back very badly and started to do chemicals. Doctors call them painkillers or chemicals, though. You know?
It made you feel good until it wore off.
I still like them.
Yeah.
My body still likes them. My flesh still likes chemicals. Cocaine's one of my favorite things. How about that? I don't do it, though.
No.
I've been made free from that.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Amen.
So anyways, like I like to say, my best dealers as a teenager were all named Doctor, and I got the good stuff, and I got whatever I wanted with a phone call, and I didn't have to only pay like $3 for a copay. It's a great dealer. And I had the phone numbers on speed dial. Remember? We used to have the answering machine, corded phones. No, read that thing, I had them right there, right? So I got addicted to drugs and alcohol at a young age. And, when I met Amy, she was Amy Mizell at the time, and she was the professing lost daughter of Dave Mizell. My wife is lost, pastor. She's been walking around many years with a false testimony. She knows that she's admitted, y'all know that. Hard to believe, I understand that. Amy Skolton, what about? One of the best things that ever came into my life. If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have been exposed to the King James Bible. So, Amy and I were living together, and I sat with Dad, call him Dave, my dad, my father, call him Dad. Been better to me than my real dad was. And we sat in the car one night, and he pulled out this little track. He wasn't happy of living with his daughter, you know. Right? He was not impressed by it at all. We did not get along. You know, he did his best. You know. He did his best. But we clashed like oil and water, you know. So he read me this little track. He says, "Can you agree with this?" Says, "I can agree with that." "Yeah. Are you a sinner?" He says, "Yeah, I'm a sinner." You know what? I was in jail for a while. You ask anybody in jail if you're a sinner, they'll, "Yeah, they're a sinner." They'll brag about it. I was a sinner, sure. Anyway, do you believe God is real? Well, look around. God's got to be real. This cannot be an accident, you know. Do you believe that God could write his word down in a book and preserve it? Yeah, I don't need a scholar. If there's an all-powerful God who created the universe, it's nothing for him. Listen, just a couple of weeks ago, I said to this woman at our church, I was eating dinner with her, and she needed her taxes paid. I said to her, "What's harder for God to do, feed you this dinner you're eating right now or pay your taxes?" Later on that day, I found out God paid her taxes in the thousands. So I sent her a little text. I said, "Hey, what was harder for God to do today, feed you lunch or pay your taxes?" Right? I don't remember what she wrote back, but she was pretty excited. God is all powerful and he is able. So I have no problem, never had a problem believing God can preserve his word in the book. Pastor said to be short, so I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. I made a profession in a car that night. It lasted 3 days. There was no power in it. There was no power in that prayer at the end of that track. And then a while later, I made another profession because I had an incredible experience with the world that you can't see. The spiritual world that's all around us all the time, right here, right now, and they're called beings of light. God has clothed them in light, and we cannot see them. I had an experience with a being of light who convinced me he was Jesus Christ. He was not. The Bible says that Satan says in his heart, then out loud, I shall be like the Most High. Pastor, he said earlier, the devil will impersonate Jesus Christ. He will impersonate God in every possible way. The biggest way the devil impersonates Jesus Christ is to come to a person and give you a false profession of salvation. He tells you, I'm God, I'm Jesus Christ, you're saved. And you go through your life and it hurts. And you have no victory in your life. You haven't been made free from the shackles of sin that have bound you. Filthiness comes out of your mouth. Because that's what's in your heart. You struggle to read your Bible. You struggle to pray. You know you ought to do these things. And you know there's things you ought to not do. And you can't get victory over these things very often. Because the devil has come to you and said, I'm Jesus Christ. And he's deceived you. He did it to me. I spent 25 years in a deceived state thinking that the devil was Jesus Christ. I was even baptized. I was made a member of a church. I even taught Sunday school. Heck, I even went to Bible college and got booted out of Bible college. Got kicked out after 2 years. Praise God for it. One of the best things ever happened to me. Then I got under the preaching of the King James Bible. Proper teaching. Only the Word of God. And I realized I was lost. And then God granted me repentance. Listen to me. Repentance wasn't me saying, God, I'm a sinner. I already knew that. Repentance was God showing me exactly what I was. Exactly how he saw me. It destroyed me. It crushed me. It hurt worse than anything I've ever experienced in my life when God showed me the real me on the inside. And then I was sitting in a preaching service. My best friend was preaching. I don't even know what he was preaching about. But you know what? He said the words, you can believe that Bible that you're lost and on your way to hell. Of course, that's easy. And then he says, why can't you believe that word? They'll wash you clean and make you saved. I said, I can do that. What'd you tell me after that? What'd you say to me? He said, Ronnie, your countenance has changed. Exactly, because see, I believed. I sat in the pew and I was listening to preaching, and I can support that from the book of Romans, by the way. And that's not what I came here to do. That's my testimony, though. That's how I came to be where I am right now. When I met Pastor Broadwell, when Bell was doing his message, he said this. He quoted this verse. This is a wonderful verse. Listen, every Bible verse in the King James Bible is a wonderful verse, but they're not all fun. They're not all easy. They're not all even friendly. Some of them. But this is a great verse right here. Psalm 12:6 says this. It says, the words, plural, words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Listen, there's people above me mentally. We've taken the time to research this King James Bible. When I think they have accurately documented the fact that this King James Bible has been purified seven times, and that we have the final purification of the Word of God, that it is perfect in every single possible way. I like what my pastor said. He said, if I were to take this book and hand it to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, would you please edit this and give it back to me? He'd say, Here you go. You wouldn't do anything to it. Perfect. The purified seven times. When you purify silver, you can't purify it five times and have it be pure. It's pretty good. You know, it's valuable. But you have to purify silver seven times for it to be as pure as it possibly can. That's what that book is. It's as pure as it possibly can be. When we read our King James Bible, we see different metals in there. We see gold, that's a deity. We see brass, that represents judgment. And we see silver. Silver stands for redemption. Isn't that wonderful? The Word of God is compared to silver, redemption, that's been purified seven times. The book contains perfect redemption. Your redemption is found in the Word of God. How do we know that? Well, my Bible tells me that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ was made flesh. Listen to me, men. Pay close attention, young men. You heard it. You can reiterate this. Jesus Christ was not God in a man's body. Jesus Christ was the Word made flesh. No doubt about it. Believe the Bible or God's a liar. Period. Was he fully God? Absolutely. Was he fully man? You bet. He is presently the Word made flesh. He is redemption. Jesus Christ is salvation. The wonderful thing and the hurtful thing about the King James Bible is that when you read the King James Bible, when you study the King James Bible, the Word of God reads and studies you. What else would it be good for if it didn't?
That's right.
What good would that book be if it couldn't show you what you are? The Bible says, Jesus speaking, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The Word made flesh. You do not come to the Father except by the Word made flesh. That is Jesus Christ. You need that Bible. You need to read that Bible, boy, so that Bible can read you. And you need to quit being a wimp about it. And you need to man up and let God show you what he wants you to see. Usually what God wants to show me, I'd say about 70% of the time, I don't want to know. I need to know it, though.
Yes, sir.
I need to go through hard things. Going through hard things in my life right now, the Bible says that's a fire of refinement. A fiery trial, it's a refining. It hurts. God has brought pain into my life in a way I could never have imagined, through avenues that I could never have thought of. But it's there, and it's there right now. You know what? In all of it, though, in the fire trial I'm in right now, you know what? I have peace. And I can't explain it to you. A scholar once said, if you have the peace that passes understanding, you can't understand it. How the heck could you explain something you can't understand? I can't explain it, because I don't understand it, but I have it.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Jesus.
I can't explain my brain injury because I don't understand it. But I know I won't, but I can't understand it.
God's desire for all mankind is for him to expose who he is to you. God wants you to see who he is, because he wants to show you who you are. When we search for God in the Bible, we find, if we are honest and truthful, the truth. That's Christ. If the truth, Jesus Christ, and he is, everything in this Bible proves it, then the truth of Jesus Christ is he became me. He became the truth of what I am. And that's filthy. It's despicable. It's abominable. It deserves to go to hell forever. You don't want to see that. That's why you don't get saved. You'd rather play with your sin. You got to have that little thing over here in the corner that you think nobody knows about. I don't know what it is. baptized. He's right through me.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, you know, we have an Old Testament, we have a New Testament. Jesus Christ is talking. He said, what did he say? He said, in John 5:39, Jesus Christ says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. You realize there was no New Testament when he said that? He was speaking to people who were trying to live by the law, trying to live by the prophets. Listen, if you could live by the law and live by the prophets, you wouldn't need Jesus Christ. Right. It's not possible. Jesus Christ said in the Psalms that he had iniquity in his youth. No, I'm sorry, iniquities in his youth. Iniquity is what? Nick, what's an iniquity?
Sin that you don't acknowledge.
Violation of the law. In the Old Testament, if you heard me curse, you were obligated to make it known to the right people. Take this, Ronnie's quote, and curse. Jesus Christ as a baby heard people curse. He couldn't take it, so he had to endure iniquities that weren't even his, but they were his because he was exposed to it. That may have not come out about exactly right, because I don't have a verse there, and it just came to mind. But when he said those words, the New Testament didn't exist. There was still salvation, though. And salvation was still, or rather was, and now is still, in Jesus Christ. Because he's the Word made flesh. That's the Old Testament, that's the New Testament. It's the Word made flesh. Let's back up a little bit. The priest, the tabernacle, the temple, but we're going to go back to the tabernacle right now, okay? When Moses had a design from God, decreed on earth what's before God in heaven, he gave a design for a tabernacle, instruments in the tabernacle, the cherubim, the candlestick, etc., etc. I want to concentrate on one of those things, though. It was the laver, or laver, however you choose to say it. And the laver was a basin that the priests would go to ceremonially wash their hands and their feet before they were to go in and do their service. Something really important about the laver, though. In Exodus 38:8, the Bible says this. And he made the laver of brass, that's judgment, and the foot of it brass, so from the ground up, it was judgment, of the looking glass of the women assembling, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. That's interesting. The looking glasses of the women. What's a looking glass? Do you know what a looking glass is? What's it?
Like.
It's a mirror. I'll help you, because you were distracted. You had no idea. A looking glass is a mirror. Yeah? Do you know what's on the back of a piece of glass so you can see yourself? You know what they call that? What's it?
Metal.
No. It's called silvering. When you take a piece of glass and you put silver on the back of it, you get a mirror. You get a looking glass. How about that? That laver, that brazen laver, the bottom of that bowl, was tiled with mirrors. And then there was water over that. So when that priest came in to do the work of God, to wash his hands and to wash his feet, when he looked in that water, through that water he saw a vague, because his water is moving now when he touches you, he saw a vague image of himself from all different kinds of angles. If you move around, I imagine it kind of like one of the disco balls turned inside out, right? You can see yourself in all kinds of different ways. God sees every angle and every way that you are. There's no angle that you think you can put yourself in. God can't see exactly what you are. We know later on in the Bible it says, looking in a glass darkly, later on we'll see clearly. Paraphrase. When you look through the water as you're washing, you're not seeing yourself exactly, but you are seeing yourself God wants you, huh, to see what you really are. What was the symbology of the water in here making it hard for you to see yourself? I'm trying to do something here. I'm going to wash my hands. I got to wash my hands. I got to do something here. I have to put this work and effort into it. And it makes it a little bit difficult to see what you are. You're doing the right thing. I have entirely lost my thought right now. Hold on. My Father in heaven, God, I pray, Lord, that you would help me bring back that thought that was just stolen from me, Lord. Help me to understand what it is that you want to say right now. And I'll thank you for it. Silver, the Bible is silver, the Word of God is silver. He wants to show you. He wants to show you yourself. He wants to wash you with the water of the Word. He wants you to be made clean. You have to see yourself first. The Bible says this. He says, "For thou, O God, hast proved us, thou hast tried us as silver is tried." It's God's desire to try you. Is it a trial, my son, to seek Jesus Christ? Is it hard? Is it fiery? Mm-hmm. Has it been an easy thing for you? No. Are you going to quit? Does it hurt? No. Does it hurt? Mm. Yeah. God will hurt you to show you who you are. It hurt me a lot as a lost person. It's never around 25 years. Telling people I was saved. Say, I heard the voice of God. I felt the hand of God touch me. Because I did have an audible and physical experience. There was no Bible involved. A couple little three verses, and then I thought I knew this, knew that. When I started to look into the Word of God, and it started to reflect to me who I really was, from all these different angles, light shining back at me in all different ways, saw who I was when I was able to repent of that and I was born again. The Bible says this: the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. You might think I'm skipping off topic here, but I have a reason for saying that. Having your steps ordered by the Lord isn't magic. You have your steps ordered by the Lord by the Word of God. You read the Bible. You let the Bible read you. You ask God what he wants to tell you about it. He reveals his will to you, and you take that step. It's a miracle. It's a miracle of miracles that I stand here to talk to you today. Not my steps that got me here. Listen, I understand for a fact not everybody's going to like what I have to say. It doesn't bother me because I want to say what this says. My opinion doesn't matter. My background in theology doesn't matter. My background in the traditions of men doesn't matter. There's a lot of that in my background. I'm 51 years old. What matters is, brother, that this is the foundation. You knew it so much that you put it in this building. That's how important it is to Pastor Broadwell. He wanted his church built literally on the Word of God. Amen. I like it. But I challenge you, stay true to the Word of God. Men, I challenge you, stay true to the Word of God. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't be afraid of the truth of who you are when God confronts you with that. You know, I preached to you guys about a half a dozen times last night because I couldn't sleep. I haven't slept a wink. It's not what I preached. What I preached last night was different. I prayed God that he would give me some of the things that he told me last night. But then I get here and God just says, I'm going to change this up a little bit on you. I got 3 pages of stuff here. I'm not going to go to it.
I'd like to hear it so that for another.
Well, let me say something then. I want to tell you about. The Bible says that we need to take precept on precept, precept on precept, line upon line, little here, little there, put it together, divide the word of God. So here's something that came to me. The Bible says that wine is a mocker, and a strong drink is raging, and whosoever deceived thereby is not wise. You know that strong drink in Bible days would be wine and beer that we have today. It's not liquor, but all the liquor applies. Obviously, they have liquor in the Bible. So, who is deceived by strong drink? That's not a wise person. It doesn't say get hammered. It says, who is deceived by strong drink? I know a couple of fellows that say, hey, I have a beer or two every night. But I'm born again. Bible says, you're drinking strong drink, you're not wise, right? If you want to have wisdom, you got to start by being wise. The Bible says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. You have a new beer or two every night. Doesn't line up, does it? It doesn't line up, does it? You need your Bible that way? Do you have the courage to read your Bible that way? Let's look at something McVeigh read to us this week. I'm going to be in Galatians chapter 5. We'll finish up here, okay? The Bible will prove you. The Word of God will show you who you are. It will prove you. What's it say up here? Psalm 66:10. For thou, O God, hast proved us, as thou hast tried us, as silver is tried. The Word of God will prove you. I start reading Galatians 5, chapter 16, verse 16. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. A little side note, Christ never had lust of the flesh because he's the Word made flesh. Can't tempt God. Can't tempt the Word of God. That's why he came against the devil, and the devil tempted him of his own wickedness with the Word of God. Again, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Another side note, that's a capital S Spirit. That's the same Spirit you see in Genesis that moved over the face of the water. And the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, here's something. They're made manifest. They're brought to light. They're exhibited in your life, in your walk, in what you do. I drink beer every night. I'm just saying. The person who says, I have 2 or 3 cans of beer every night. That's a work of your flesh made manifest. The works of the flesh are made manifest, which are these. Adultery. Let's just say, adultery and fornication. Some of us are married, some of us aren't. What do you think pornography causes you to do? When you're sitting in the bathroom on your telephone. Are you fornicating? Or are you being an adulterer? The work of the flesh made manifest. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. We know witchcraft in the Bible. That's just, you rebel? Are you rebelling against what the Word of God is telling you right now? Are you rejecting the truth of the Bible examining you? You're practicing witchcraft. Hatred. Wow. Boy, I used to be a professional like that. Variance, emulations, wrath, strife. Peter's favorite. Seditions and heresies. Dear friend, I'll tell you, heresy abounds today. Heresy abounds in Baptist churches today. Because men are afraid of the Word of God. Men want a paycheck. You get that guy to travel around, the evangelist. Where's my next stop going to be? Should I go to this one? They give me $500. Should I go to that one? They give me $700. Well, that's an easy choice, right? And he brings his traditions of men when he gets up in the pulpit, right? And he sneaks in there. And he slides a little heresy in there. He slides in a heresy that says this: you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Uh-oh. The Bible says what, brother? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. Right?
Right.
Men are named of old. Crept in unawares. And they preach heresy. Because we don't read that book, because we don't believe that book. Yes. He snares. Envying. What do you envy? I hate that one. Oh, I can make a list of things I envy. And I hate the fact that I envy. That's not the hatred there, though. This is a hatred of my sin. I hate that I envy. Every one of you men right here is going to be something in your life that I might envy. For the good or for the bad, by the way. Murders. And then we got that drunkenness. You realize alcohol is just liquid drugs, right? Yeah, it's the most abused, along with tobacco.
That's right.
Along with tobacco, alcohol is the most used and abused drug in the world. Well, if alcohol is a drug, when you're going home, you're smoking that joint, putting them drops of that new legalized THC on your tongue, eating your little gummy. Might as well get drunk. It's a manifestation of, in your flesh, of what you really want and what you really are and what you really do. Do you have victory?
You do for a minute.
For a minute. Right. Been there and done that too, brother.
Yeah.
For a minute. I want eternal victory. I fall, man. Listen, I fall all the time. I've fallen today, fallen while I was couldn't sleep last night, but the Bible says a righteous man falls sometimes and he rises up again. Just like Christ rose, right? Isn't it wonderful? The Word of God, it's fantastic. Revelings and such like. Oh, here we go, pay close attention right here. The revelings and the such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. How about it? You got victory? Have you been made free? Are you going home to have your beer every day? You're going home, you're watching a little bit of porn every day. Whatever it may be, you hate your brother. Love and strife every day. I don't know, but I think that Bible says right there you're not going to inherit. Pretty sure that's what that says. Pretty sure that Bible doesn't say if you said a prayer a few years ago and live like hell and do all these things, you're going to heaven. Oh, what's it say? It says, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Do you have victory? Have you been made free? Free from what? Free from condemnation. Free from the sin that guides and controls and drives your life. Are you free from that? I'm going to give you one final verse. And I don't have it written down. Help me, Dale. It's Romans. Spirit beareth witness with my spirit. What is that? Romans 3:15 maybe? No. You know what? Let me look this verse up because I forgot.
What was it? 8:16.
8:16. Thank you, guys. 8:16. Listen again. The word of God. Words purified 7 times in the furnace of earth. Can't get any more pure. Romans 8:16 says this. The Spirit, again, capital S. That's the Spirit we've been talking about. The Spirit is responsible for creating everything. The Spirit itself, all by itself, God stands alone. Itself. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's how you know you're saved. That Spirit of God, the Creator, bears witness with your spirit, the inward part of you, who you really are, that you're born again. Proof of your salvation is that you said the prayer one day. You know, I guess I'm going to go a little bit longer. I'll be done preaching just a moment. Another thought real quick. You know, I talk to folks and they say, I know I'm saved because I prayed a prayer and God can't lie. And the Bible says, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. Okay. The Bible says also in John 3:2, rather than we are the sons of God, we do not yet know not yet what we shall be, definite future occurring. What we shall be, but we know that we shall appear, and we shall see, and we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I butchered it, but I wanted the word shall in there. Shall is a future, perfect, definite, and it's going to happen. That's future. We shall, if you're born again, be like Jesus Christ. It's my favorite promise in the Bible. If I say, thou shalt confess, 2 things, if I built the house, am I still doing it? Is it going to happen later? If I killed you, are you dead? Has it already happened? So shalt, it's already happened. And what's that confession with your mouth? That confession is what comes out of you as you live. And I'll give you a little side note here too. You can't confess something that's never happened. Or you're a liar. So if I confess God with my mouth, it's not me praying a prayer and asking him into my heart. It's saying, hey, guess what? I'm saved. Do you have the Spirit that bears witness with you? That's the question you need to ask yourself. Are you willing to let this Bible examine you because it's the perfect word of God? Are you willing not to have faith in man but rather have confidence in God? Are you rather not to trust in man but to have faith in God? Are you willing to believe the perfect 7-time purified mirror of God right here? Or are you going to believe your own thoughts? Are you going to believe heresy? Are you going to believe tricks and deception? Be careful. The Bible says, be sober. Be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You're a whom. By the way, wars don't hurt, but they'll paralyze you so that the devil can grab you. And he doesn't want to kill you. He wants to devour you. A lion eats slowly. They get him down on the ground. Doesn't even got to be dead yet. Most of them, usually they're dead on the ground. And they'll lick that blood up, man. Face will be covered in it. I'll be licking it. Devouring. That's the devil wishes to do with you. He wants to devour you. That's all I have, Pastor. Thank you for your time, man.